Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day to confront a great question of all of our presidents of the United States. Which one counts as the most fascinating, the most impressive, the most compelling, and the most endearing? I think there is general consensus it would be Lincoln. I mean, basically no one liked Lincoln in all of our history. But who would be in second place? And we will leave out the current incumbent, President Trump, because as of this telling, his presidency is still unfolding. It would be another president who is up there on Rushmore, and no, not Washington, who is so great that he seems inapproachable and almost like a statue. And no, not Jefferson with his complexities and his many flaws. It would be that fourth Rushmore president, the president we celebrate today. That would be Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy. And that music that you're hearing, it'll be a hot time in the old town tonight, was used by Theodore Roosevelt as something of a theme song. Why? Because it was used for his regiment, the Rough Riders, before they went to Cuba in the Spanish-American War, then played at virtually every rally until he got rather sick of it while he was running for governor of New York in 1898, before he became president, of course. And I need to answer a couple of questions at the very beginning. First of all, the idea that I call him Theodore Roosevelt and not Teddy Roosevelt, as he's often known. Well, that's because President Roosevelt always loathed the name Teddy. When he was a tiny boy, he was called Teddy, and he didn't like it. And he never liked being called Teddy. And he once declared, "Anyone who calls me Teddy doesn't know me at all." And I certainly hope that by the end of this broadcast, you will know President Theodore Roosevelt well. And then the question about the title of this very special broadcast on the Michael Medved Show, calling him the All-American Boy. I do that because part of the fascination with President Roosevelt is his boyishness, which lasted his entire life. He never quite grew up. In fact, one of the most famous statements about him was made by the British diplomat, Cecil Spring Rice, who became a very good friend with President Roosevelt when he was in the White House. And he said, "You must always remember about the president that he is about six." And there were others who were also impressed with his boyishness. Elihu Root, the gray eminence who served in T.R.'s cabinet, said on the president's 46th birthday, he said, "You have made a good start in life, and your friends have great hopes for you when you grow up." And then later, 6 years later, in 1910, he greeted him on his birthday by writing to him. This is after President Roosevelt had been reelected. "Theodore, you are still the same great overgrown boy as ever." And most movingly of all, and I just came across this, and it's stunning to me, is former President Theodore Roosevelt humbled himself and came to the White House to beg a favor of the man who had defeated him in his last race for the presidency, Woodrow Wilson. He didn't like Woodrow Wilson. He once referred to Woodrow Wilson as the real WW stood for weasel words, which is quite a thing to say. But he came to President Wilson in the White House in 1917 after America had entered World War I. And President Roosevelt begged him to allow the president, he begged the president to allow him, President Roosevelt, to organize a regiment and lead a regiment at the front, because he wanted to spend his own money to recruit people, to get volunteers. And President Roosevelt at the time was in his late 50s. He wasn't in perfect health. And Wilson said no. But afterward, he wrote this in his diary. "He is a great big boy. I was charmed by his personality. There was a sweetness about him that is very compelling. You cannot resist the man." And people felt that way about Theodore Roosevelt for most of his life. And part of the reason that he remained an overgrown boy his entire lifetime was because his actual boyhood was, at least for his early years, so miserable. He had a terrible case of asthma as a child. He was born to a family of privilege. Otherwise, he might not have even survived. But his family had come here with some of the original Dutch settlers in what was originally called New Amsterdam. They came in the middle 1600s. And the family was always successful. They were prosperous. His father, Theodore Roosevelt Sr., was a widely respected community leader and a successful importer of glass, and generally a very dedicated, community-minded businessman. And in terms of asthma, young Teddy, as he hated being called, was too sick to attend school. And his mother took him to various practitioners who attached mustard plasters. At one point, they massaged his chest so vigorously that it started to bleed. He got electric shocks, and none of it seemed to work. The only thing that worked was the time he would spend in his father's arms. And he remembered years later, "I could breathe. I could sleep. When he had me in his arms. My father, he got me breath. I could sleep when he had me in his arms. He got me lungs, strength, life." And some sense of what his childhood was. He was considered well enough to go with his family when he was 10 years old. And they went on a grand trip of Europe, and some of it was fun. He kept a diary of the trip, and it's amazing to read it from 10-year-old Theodore Roosevelt. In Switzerland, August 23rd, he writes, "In the afternoon, we threw paper balls at the waiter and chambermaid and rushed around upstairs and downstairs to dodge them." He's talking about his sister and his brother and himself. "Then September 24th, Venice. I was sick with asthma and did not sleep at all. September 26th, Trieste. I was sick of the asthma. I sat up for 4 successive hours, and Papa made me smoke a cigar to help me breathe." This was his reality, and it was also his father, Theodore Roosevelt Sr., who encouraged him to become the master of his own body and to work out with barbells, with very regular exercise, to build up his body and his strength. Now, this is often exaggerated. He never became a truly superb athlete. But he did develop as he was growing up. First of all, his height was never awe-inspiring. People think of Theodore Roosevelt as this towering figure. His height, depending on which source you believe, was somewhere between 5'8 and maybe as much as 5'10". It was probably 5'8 or 5'9". And that was not considered large for the time. But when he went away to Harvard, he took up boxing, and he became obsessed with this physical culture and improving his body. So how is it that this once sickly young man became America's most celebrated advocate of what he called the strenuous life? We'll tell you more as we continue the special broadcast, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, recalling the president who led us into the 20th century, which has been called the American Century. Certainly Theodore Roosevelt would have appreciated that designation, this special broadcast. Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy. He did finally, with his father's help, overcome the limitations of the asthma that almost killed him before the age of three. But in 1872, when Roosevelt was still only 13, his father told him, sickness is always a shame and often a sin. You must make your body. And he was determined to do that. One of the ways that he did it was traveling with his family and traveling in the saddle. He loved riding. He loved hunting. His father gave him a gun when he was 14 and then was very disconcerted when Theodore couldn't hit anything. He always missed. And then he gave him spectacles, and that was much better, because he was always nearsighted, and then later in life, he injured himself in the White House doing boxing with a sparring partner who hit his eye and ended up detaching his retina. In any event, he traveled with his family to Europe. He traveled with his family to Africa. He was mostly homeschooled, and he was clearly a monumentally intelligent young man. And he entered Harvard in America's centennial year, 1876, and he entered just before he turned 18. And at Harvard, he was something of a force of nature. And now, he wanted to show people how manly and how strong he was, despite the fact that he had relatively small stature, and he wasn't a naturally greatly gifted athlete. But a young woman in Cambridge who met him when he was a freshman remembered him as with being possessing, quote, stuffed snakes and lizards in his room, with a peculiar violent vehemence of speech and manner and an overriding interest in everything. And there's a famous story of Theodore in geology class. Geology was one of his favorite subjects. And at one point, he was so obstreperous in his geology class at Harvard that his professor shouted back at him, "See here, Roosevelt, let me talk." He had a tough time letting other people talk throughout his life and his career. The worst moment of his life, young life, occurred in 1878, when he was still a junior at Harvard, and his father had taken ill. And it's actually an amazing story. His father had been nominated by President Rutherford B. Hayes to be the customs collector for the Port of New York, which was considered a very, very important job. And Hayes wanted to replace a fairly corrupt customs collector, as he was supposed to be, named Chester A. Arthur. He was there in the job. But then in the Senate, Roscoe Conkling, who was a senator from New York, made a huge stink, and Theodore Roosevelt Sr. was hugely embarrassed because the Senate would not approve his appointment. And it was shortly after that that he collapsed. He became very ill. Theodore came down from Harvard to visit him, and his father seemed to rally with his oldest son's visit. But then, on February 9th, 1878, he died of what was called cancer of the bowel. It was a very, very painful death. His father was only 46. And Theodore said, "Sometimes when I realize my loss, I feel as if I should go wild. He was everything to me. I have lost the only human being to whom I told everything. With the help of my God, I will try to lead such a life as he would have wished." And he remained obsessed with his father and trying to live up to his father's hopes for him. He wrote 3 months after his father's death, "I often feel badly that such a wonderful man as father would have had a son of so little worth as I. I realize more and more every day that I am as much inferior to father morally and mentally as physically." It didn't stop him from an outstanding academic record. One of the things that strikes you about Theodore Roosevelt, when you read his words, when you read about him, this was an astonishingly brilliant man. And so full of energy that his family actually thought it might be a problem for him. In fact, his father, who he mourns so greatly, wrote, "His energy seems so superabundant that I feel it may get the better of him in one way or another." Actually, that happened, but later in the story. At Harvard, he began working on an academic work about the Naval War of 1812, and it's brilliant. And it was published as a book, and it became a minor bestseller, and it's still studied as a work of profound naval history, a whole analysis of the sailing ships and the war and what gathered there. And again, this is his work in college. He also qualified for Purcellian Club, which was considered the most prestigious club there. And he also met the most beautiful young woman he ever saw, decided immediately that he wanted to marry her, and pursued her. He referred to her as his sunny-faced queen, his bright, bewitching darling, so pure and holy, he wrote, that it almost seems profanation to touch her. Her name was Alice Hathaway Lee, and they became engaged, and shortly thereafter married. And he considered himself the most fortunate man in the world to marry such a beauty and such a gem. The marriage, however, didn't last and didn't factor into the more dramatic events of his life. But it also led to the most painful day of his life, which came just after his entry into politics. He had decided, having thought about a career in science, a career in writing, he did not want to go into business. He didn't feel that he had a particular feel for business. In any event, he had inherited something of a fortune from his father. So he ran for the New York Assembly, and at age 23, he became the youngest man ever elected into the New York State Legislature. But things did not go according to plan. We'll continue the story of Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy.
You're listening to a special history program here on the Michael Medved Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The big winter storm may be over for much of the USA, but it will take most of the week for the airlines to get back to normal. Already today, airlines have canceled nearly 3,000 flights and delayed nearly 5,000 more. Southwest is the most affected airline. It scrubbed nearly half its flights nationwide today. Still snowing in western New York. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown says many streets remain impassable, which made it very hard for police to find stranded drivers.
Police have literally, in a variety of different ways, provided hundreds of rescues.
25 people confirmed dead around Erie County from weather issues. More than 55 people nationwide have died. It's not even one and done for Denver Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett. The team's fired the first-year head coach after yesterday's blowout at the hands of the L.A. Rams. Richard Johnson, USA News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, telling the astonishing story of Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy. And that boy was certainly riding high in February of 1884. He had already been elected to the New York legislature. He was a star in the legislature. He rose to be the Republican leader in the state assembly. At a remarkably young age, age of 25, and he was very, very excited in February about the imminent passage of a bill he had worked on for a long time. It was a bill reforming the New York City Charter to make public servants more accountable. It was the cause of reform and trying to rid the city of corruption, to which he had dedicated his early career. And the other good news was his wife, Alice, who he adored, had become pregnant, and she was due in February. And the baby was actually due on Valentine's Day, on February 14th. And he had come home to be with his wife the previous weekend before she was due. But then she sent him back to Albany, and he went back to Albany to work on the Roosevelt bill. But then he got a telegram on Wednesday morning, the 13th of February, that told him that he had a baby, a healthy baby girl, who they had already planned to name Alice after her mother. And the members of the legislature, when he got his telegram, crowded around him, patted him on the back, handed him cigars, and then he got a second telegram, and he rushed to the railroad station. The problem was, on the way home, there was very dense fog, and what normally would have been a quick train ride ended up taking 5 hours. He arrived home after midnight to his family's home, where Alice was staying with his mother and his brother Elliot, and his brother Elliot came to the door and told Theodore, there is a curse on this house. Mother is dying, and Alice is dying too. Roosevelt's mother had typhoid fever, and Alice, who had been badly experiencing childbirth, even though the baby was healthy, she was barely conscious. She was suffering from kidney disease that had been undiagnosed. And Theodore went back and forth between the bedsides. His mother died at 3 a.m. on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Alice died at 2 that afternoon. And only the baby, now motherless baby, survived. And this was so extraordinary that in his diary, where it has a page for February, Thursday the 14th, 1884, he just puts a big, broad X on the page. And in his own handwriting, you can read, "The light has gone out of my life." And as a 25-year-old widower, he left the baby in the care of his sister, and he decided to find solace and healing and new hope by living one of the boyish adventures he had always dreamed of living. He had family money, so he used that to buy a ranch in the Badlands of Dakota. And he decided to go out there. And he wrote this to his sister. "Well, if I've got to go, I've got to. I wear a sombrero, silk neckerchief, fringed buckskin shirt, sealskin chaparreos, or riding trousers, alligator hide boots, and with my pearl-hilted revolvers and beautifully finished Winchester rifle, I shall be able to face anything." And by the way, he also had a Bowie knife, which came from Tiffany's, and as did his silver belt buckle with a bear's head, and also his initialed silver spurs. Not your typical cowboy, perhaps. More coming up on this special broadcast. Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy.
You're listening to the Michael Medved History Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. If you'd like a copy of this program, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. There you can find MP3 audio downloads, or you can order CDs. We have lots of programs on offer about the American Revolution, the Constitution, profiles of Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, shows about taxation, the worst presidents in American history. It's all at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy, and you're also listening to something extraordinary, a historic performance directly tied to President Roosevelt. Listen. That was recorded in 1906 by the Marine Band, the President's Own, it's known. And President Roosevelt loved listening to the Marine Band. And we know that he also heard them perform this Maple Leaf Rag by Scott Joplin, because ragtime was all the rage at that moment in our history. In fact, there is a member of the Marine Band who recalled specifically that President Roosevelt's daughter, Alice, then known as Princess Alice, was very much a ragtime fan. And during a White House reception, she came up to the band and said, "Oh, Mr. Sentelman, do play the Maple Leaf Rag for me." And the conductor, Mr. Sentelman, said, "The Maple Leaf Rag? Indeed, Miss Roosevelt, I've never heard such a composition, and I'm sure it is not in our library." And Alice Roosevelt apparently said, Now, Mr. Santelman, don't tell me that. The band boys have played it for me time and again when Mr. Smith or Mr. Van Poke was conducting, and I'll wager they all know it without the music. They played it without the music. And then recorded it in 1906, which is quite remarkable. And yes, it was a more festive time and a more happy time, and one of my favorite quotes from Theodore Roosevelt, and one of the reasons I believe that he's such a remarkable, remarkable writer, is he wrote this sentence, "Black care never sits behind a rider whose pace is fast enough." And that was the whole idea of his going out to try to run a ranch and make money farming cattle when he went out to the Dakota Badlands. It was even a territory then. And he had many, many experiences, which he narrated with great fun. He was in a bar at one point, not imbibing, but someone else was with two six-shooters, a much larger guy, and TR, because the man was misbehaving, knocked him out cold, at least as he remembers it. And historian Richard Hofstadter, who writes insightfully and beautifully about Theodore Roosevelt, said he fled from repose and introspection with a desperate urgency that is sometimes pitiable.
We'll be right back here on the Michael Medved Show. You're listening to a special history program, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. If you'd like a copy of this program, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. There you can find MP3 audio downloads, or you can order CDs.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it, and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a Medhead Plus member as soon as you can.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Listening to a special history program here on the Michael Medved Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy.
In 1886, 2 years after the simultaneous death of his first wife and his mother, he wrote a biography of Thomas Hart Benton, the great colleague of Andrew Jackson, senator from Missouri. He wrote that biography in 4 months, during most of which he was on 14 or 16 hour ranching schedules, in the saddle almost all day, and, as he said, pretty sleepy all the time. In the same period, he poured out 7 volumes of history and essays within 5 years, while active both in politics and on his ranch. Get action. Do things. Be sane, he once raved. Don't fritter away your time. Create. Act. Take a place. Wherever you are, and be somebody. Get action. He lived up to that. And after the legislature, his career continued. In 1886, he ran a completely doomed campaign for mayor of New York. He got a certain amount of attention, but he finished third. There was the Democrat who won, and a third party candidate, radical intellectual Henry George, who finished second. Roosevelt finished third. But his speeches drew attention and his energy compelled everyone, and he became chairman of the Board of Police Commissioners in New York City, a role which he enormously enjoyed, and he worked closely with the police, who loved him, trying to focus their attention on rooting out corruption in the police department and addressing the problem of vice in the big city. Also in that capacity, he met a famous reformer who had been born in Denmark, Jacob Riis, who wrote a famous book called How the Other Half Lived, who took Theodore Roosevelt around to see the slum conditions in New York, and he resolved to try to do something about it. He won appointment by President Benjamin Harrison to the Civil Service Commission in Washington, which was charged with cleaning up government and trying to get partisan politics and the spoils system out of major government appointments. And he did so well in that position that he was reappointed by a Democrat, which was considered extraordinary. That Democrat was Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland had commented about Theodore Roosevelt a few years before when he met him, when Roosevelt was in the legislature and Grover Cleveland was governor of New York. He said, "You do not know Theodore Roosevelt, I do, and I tell you that he is one of the ablest politicians either party ever had and the ablest Republican politician in this generation. The country will find this out in time." And this also, at the time, long before he held an important office or became president, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Thomas Brackett Reed, said, "We've got an American of blood and iron, a coming man. That is Theodore Roosevelt. You want to watch this man, for he is a New World Bismarck and Cromwell combined, and you will see him president yet." But the road to the presidency took unexpected turns. He accepted appointment under the new president, William McKinley, to be Assistant Secretary of the Navy. And part of what he had been promised is that the Naval Secretary would take long vacations and leave him to do much of the work. He did not expect that he would be responsible largely for the opening shots in a major U.S. war, and it would be that war that made him a national hero and won him the Medal of Honor, ultimately. We will tell the rest of that story of the remarkable life of Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy, here on The Michael Medved Show. This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved. That song, forever associated with Theodore Roosevelt, the subject of this special program on The Michael Medved Show, The All-American Boy. In 1886, during that period in his life when he was going back and forth between New York and Washington and his ranch in Dakota, he wrote an article for Century Magazine, and he was only 28 years old. And he wrote, "It is unfortunately true that the general tendency among people of culture and high education has been to neglect and even to look down upon the rougher and manlier virtues, so that an advanced state of intellectual development is too often associated with a certain effeminacy of character." Well, not for Theodore Roosevelt. He spent between 1883 and 1887, during that four-year period, he spent a total of about 11 months out on his ranch. The ranch eventually was a disaster. The cattle died off under difficult climatic conditions, and he lost money on the whole venture. But he gained far more. He wrote, "There were all kinds of things of which I was afraid at first, ranging from grizzly bears to mean horses and gunfighters, but by acting as if I was not afraid, I gradually ceased to be afraid. Most men can have the same experience if they choose. If it had not been for my years in North Dakota," he wrote, "I never would have become President of the United States." It's certainly true that if the Spanish-American War had not occurred, he may not have become President of the United States. And it was a war in which he played a remarkably prominent part for a very young man who held a minor government position. He was the Assistant Secretary of the Navy. His boss, the secretary, was a nice guy, former governor of Massachusetts named John D. Long, who basically didn't take his job too seriously, and that was just fine with Theodore Roosevelt, who took every job very seriously. And he was told by his friend, Henry Cabot Lodge, a friend from Porcellian Club at Harvard. He was a new senator from Massachusetts, first a congressman, then a senator, that the reason that President McKinley had been a little bit concerned about appointing Theodore Roosevelt is, having read some of his literary output, the president was afraid that he would want us to get into a war immediately. Well, it wasn't immediate, but it was quick. And in that war, Theodore Roosevelt himself became by far the most conspicuous national hero. How did he deserve it? We'll get to that and much, much more, telling the always dramatic, always fascinating, and sometimes hard to believe story of Theodore Roosevelt, the great American boy. And yes, one of the greatest presidents and most fascinating figures in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
You're listening to the Michael Medved History Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. If you'd like a copy of this program, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. There you can find MP3 audio downloads, or you can order CDs. We have lots of programs on offer about the American Revolution, the Constitution, profiles of Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, shows about taxation, the worst presidents in American history. It's all at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. As the nation struggles with our legacy of racism and inequality, many well-intentioned Americans embrace lies about white privilege, the idea that people of European ancestry enjoy vast advantages based solely on their ongoing oppression of all people of color. But many measures of well-being contradict this simplistic theory. Most recent numbers show white life expectancy declining, while Asian American people can expect to live a full 8 years longer, and Latino children will live on average 4 years longer than whites. Suicide in America claims twice as many lives as murder, and white people have the highest suicide rates, almost double those of black people. The largest number of crime victims, welfare recipients, drug deaths, and most other measures of misery are white. This doesn't mean black families don't suffer from intolerable race-based inequalities that must be overcome, but it's no solution to focus on purported white privilege that actually doesn't exist. I'm Michael.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.